desired. Loyalty and faithfulness is the nature of God. So when we are talking about loyalty, it's all, and there they go again. Another lighthouse, there they go again. No, it's actually. It says a good name is rather to be chosen. If we put money in a good name, I tell you, I'm sure 101% of us will go for the money. Many people go. That is why a lot of people sacrifice their reputation for money. A lot of people sacrifice their reputation for money. Money is a bait that will try and bait you. John Bevere wrote a book, The Bait of Satan. Money, people sacrifice their reputation. Even today, our prime minister is in trouble because of his father. He's even in trouble. His mother gave him £200,000. May your mother give you £200,000. A good name, listen carefully, is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold. A good name. Because a good name attracts riches. But people will sacrifice a good name for money. A good name for money. They would rather sacrifice a good name and get money, not knowing that rather a good name will even guarantee you favors. One day Paul says, bring me Mark, he's profitable to me in the ministry. We read from Matthew 25. I'm just revising last week. Matthew 25, where the Lord gave talents. He gave them his talents to look after. He gave it to them. It wasn't theirs. He gave them his. You get one, you get two, you get three. Look after it for me. And when after many years, the one who was giving one buried it. Said, take it away from him. He was described as a wicked and unprofitable servant. If you are faithful in least, the Bible says, you'll be faithful in much. Hallelujah. So let us think about virtues. Because see, even faithfulness and integrity, they go together. When you meet an unfaithful person, check the person's integrity. Check. They often go together. When you meet a faithful person, check. Just as when you meet a liar, the devil's around him. There are certain, what do you call it, traits or behaviors. It should even tell you. The Bible said the devil is the father of all lies. So if you are lying, the devil must be by you. It's just simple. Where you see peace, you see the Holy Spirit. Where you see truth, you see the Holy Spirit, because he's the spirit of truth. So where the Holy Spirit is, there's truth. Where the devil is, there's lie. Where the devil is, there's deception. Where the devil is, there's fear. Simple. It's just simple spiritual equation. The devil is the father of lies. So where you see a chronic liar, the devil is with him. Simple. I'm telling you, the devil is with you. Simple. When you are a lover of truth, the Holy Ghost is with you. When you have freedom, the Holy Ghost is with you. Because where the spirit, there's liberty. When you are in bondage, the devil is with you. Simple. No need to try and... I'm just simple spiritual calculations. That's what it is. Where there is peace, the God is there. Where there is joy, God is there. Simple. You are shocked there. You don't need to be shocked. Ye are of your father the devil. Sister, you are doing a good job, pal. You are of the father the devil. Charlie, your faithfulness, Charlie. Amen. Guys, are you seeing? Are you noticing? You are the father the devil, and the last of your father you would do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. He's a liar and the father of it. So his children manifest like him. Where lying is, the devil is there. Where there's truth, the devil. Where there's deception, the devil is there. Because he deceives. Hallelujah. So this morning, the question is, why loyalty? Why? Why this fuss about loyalty? Why? Why at all? Why? And I'll try and treat it for you to understand why loyalty is important in the church and in our lives. So I'll not only focus on church globally. Why? That's why I use the example that Vivian, if you are here, you go and pick Seth's phone. Then, wow, Charlie, some nice chats. You grow wild. I'm sure you grow wild. One day, a guy was asleep at home. He was asleep, not in this church. He was asleep. And his wife, he had been behaving in the manner that his wife was a bit suspicious. Are you following me? It's like when his phone rings and he goes to the kitchen. He was a bit suspicious. But people are very good in covering their tracks. Yeah. They're always, when you're a criminal, you're always erecting barriers. Yeah. Criminals are not free. When we are living a very crooked, deceptive, you're not a free person. You're always trying to cover things. So he went to bed and he fell into a deep sleep. Deep sleep. Are you following me? So as he was asleep, the phone started vibrating. Beyond midnight. So it was, the wife woke up. What's going on? He won't wake up to answer his phone. So, yeah, pick the phone like that. Wow. Come and see now. Come and see now. Oh, to be honest with you, if you are a very transparent person, to be honest with you, if your wife should go on your internet if you are very clean, you have nothing to hide, I don't really think it should be a problem. If there's nothing to hide, are you following me? If there's nothing to hide, or the issues you are discussing are very private and confidential, I don't really see why you should hide. Are you following me? So she picked the phone because he was sleeping, and then the phone was disturbing her sleep. She opened it. Jesus Christ. So when she saw it, she was so overwhelmed that she said, look, this one, let me call the pastor and tell him without waking him up. And for some reason, he woke up. Come and see. He said, let me tell you something. Just as he would, let me always look at things the other way around. That if you were being treated the way you are treating the person, will you be okay? Always look at things that way. That if, for example, he woke up and he found that it was his wife, how would he react? That is why you don't have to treat people the way you don't want to be treated. So if you don't want her to be unfaithful to you, you don't be unfaithful to him. Are you following me? If I don't want you to be unfaithful to me, I should not be unfaithful to you. So if, as a pastor, I don't want my church members to be unfaithful to me, then I should not be unfaithful to them. Are you getting the dynamics? If I don't want my wife to be unfaithful to me, then I should not be unfaithful to her. That is why every married man should not have a concubine. Simple. Because loyalty is the principal requirement of every Christian. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man... So number one, it is the principal number one. Why? It is the principal requirement of every Christian, every pastor, every believer. So if I don't want my wife to be unfaithful to me, I should. If I'm expecting faithfulness, I should be faithful. It's like give and take. Are you following me? That's simple. Because if you get angry when you discover that somebody has been unfaithful to you, why would you be unfaithful to the person? We started off by talking about the tests of loyalty. One was time, distance, fire. And then we talked about the causes. It's a principal requirement. In other words, all of us, without exception, pastor, husband, wife, children, everybody, it is required. All of us should be faithful. All of us should be loyal. Are you following me? All of us should be loyal. All of us should be transparent. All of us should be loyal. All of us should be faithful to each other. Because if Jesus was faithful to God, his Father, I dare say that he was faithful to the Holy Spirit. Because they were together. I dare say that. So it is the principal requirement of every Christian, every believer. I should be faithful to you, you should be faithful to me. So before you demand faithfulness from somebody, ask yourself, have you been faithful to the person? But if you have the laws of loyalty, the one who demands faithfulness must also be faithful. That's why God is faithful to us and Christ is faithful to us. So then he can require of us to be faithful to him because he's faithful to us. Are you learning? Simple. You must be faithful. It is a principal requirement. Moreover, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A woman be found faithful. A man be found faithful. That is why anything you are asked to do, be faithful to it. Many people don't have ethics, work ethics. And even at times, people have one set of ethics for their homes, and they have another set of ethics for work, and have a different set of ethics for church, based on what they consider important and valuable to them. That is why you see a lot of inconsistencies in people's lives. They have different work ethics at home, different work ethics at work, and then different ethics in church. Often they have good ethics at work because there's money at stake. Are you okay with me? Are you comfortable with my preaching? See, I'm taking my time. Often they have three sets or even four ethics. But let me add a fourth one. They have ethics of how they relate with their friends, who they are comfortable with. So they behave differently at home, differently at work, differently when they are with their friends, and differently when they are in church. They do things differently. Often because there's money at stake, you see the best of them at work. At home, it's like, oh, yeah, this is my house. So, Charlie, I'm sure no problem. I can do what I let me feel free. So, they feel free at home. I follow me. So, you see inconsistencies in a lot of inconsistencies in people's lives. Inconsistencies. And it is one of the reasons why people are also not progressive in life. Because to progress, you need to be constant, steadfast, consistent. Over time, many years, be doing the same thing for many years. The same thing. I was reading a book the other day, and I read a very interesting passage about a certain preacher. No matter when he goes to bed, he wakes up at a particular time every day. Even if he sleeps at 2 a.m., he will still wake up. Same time. And I read another story about the guy who was an author. He always wake up at a certain time and then write a number of pages, books, every day without fail. Every day without fail. Every day without fail. Every day. The woman who married Kay Ash, those of you who sell her products and use her products, are you following me? Every day she wake up and write a list of 7 most important things she has to do. Every day. Every day. Every day, without fail, she write them. seven things. Ronald Reagan, I think before he died, I think the night before, he goes to bed, his speech for the day, I think the day is written, prepared, consistently. You have to learn to do things consistently over a long time. It becomes second nature. In the same way, we have to learn to be loyal. So it becomes second nature. Just like learning to speak the truth all the time. So it becomes second nature. Not, oh, sorry, I didn't mean this. No. We have to, so it becomes part of us. We have to learn to be disciplined. So it becomes part of our nature. We have to learn to be timekeepers. It becomes part of our nature. We have to learn to keep deadlines. So it becomes part of our nature. It has to become part of you. Hallelujah. Amen. I say many times, you know, we blame circumstances for our lack of progress and success in life. But we never tell ourselves the real truth. We never really tell ourselves the real truth. We never tell ourselves that we are lazy. We never tell ourselves that we are not hardworking. We never tell ourselves the truth, though. But we have a way of blaming, oh, it's because of that. No. We never tell ourselves the truth. Many people are living in self-denial. They never would tell themselves the truth. So when a preacher even preaches, oh, he's talking about me. No. They are waiting for a prophet to come and say, in the name of Jesus, Shabon. No. They are waiting for a prophet to tell you. So this prophet, he's wild. Oh. He is not wise. He said that you are not hearing what God is telling yourself. Most prophecies, God has already told you. You just didn't listen. Are you following me? So it is something that we need to work on. You see, one of the things that we have to pray for is what I call steadfastness. To be able to do the same thing over and over. Because many times, it's like, I've taught you that the change cycle. You heard me talk about the change cycle before. Where you are in a, you pre-contemplate, I want to do something. You're not sure whether you should do it. Then you decide to do it. Then you say, okay, I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock. Day one, hey, praise the Lord, 5 o'clock. Day two, 5, day three, oh, it is 5 o'clock. Me too, let me sleep small before I 7. Day four, oh, Charlie, oh, God, what, wait till mango chop, 7:30, before I, you've come back to your normal 8 o'clock waiting. You can't change it. If you listen to last week's Bishop preach about apism, who listened to it? The difference between men and apes. One of the things said, look, little differences make great and significant changes. A little difference. Those who have lived in places like Germany, Switzerland, they will tell you, when you are late to the train, at the train station by a minute, it's not like London Underground or Eastfields and London trains. No, if you arrive 1 minute late, you've missed your train. They are so punctual on the... You people have lived there before. They are on time. You miss your train by a minute, you get to work 30 minutes late. That's it. It's not here, Heathrow, and they are waiting, the plane is waiting for you. No, like that. Little differences make great significant changes in our lives. Oh, yeah. But people will not ask themselves, what is it that I need to change? Yeah. What do I need to do well? Are you following me? Yeah. People will not ask themselves that question. Everything we are going to pray. Hey. Everything we are going to pray. Everything, there's a prayer meeting for it. But we will not check character. We will not check diligence. We will not check attitude. We will not check discipline. We will not check management. We will not check how you manage things. We will not check a lot of things. But everything has to go to a prayer meeting. Yeah. So we may not even understand that even the need to be faithful and loyal is essential. Have you heard, As for you too, you are somewhere. Why? No. Many wives oppose standards that are set by husbands at home. You can ask them, they'll tell you. I'll say it again. Many wives oppose standards that are being set by husbands. Why can we not be free a little bit? But you don't know, those standards are actually progressive, but they don't take it. Then he has rather become a topic for a prayer meeting. But rather, if you just follow the standard, let's try, let's do it, you'll be very surprised that you even move forward in life. It is a requirement. A steward is somebody who has something entrusted into your responsibility. It is required that a steward be found faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. How can, when there's money at stake, we have a different attitude? How come? Where there's money involved, then we change. But when there's no money involved, we are different people. It actually reveals our true hearts. That money is our motivation for doing what we're doing. How come when there's money involved? How many of us here? You can all close your eyes and lift up your hand so nobody will see. How many of us here purpose to arrive at work late? None of us. Even if by our nature we are not punctual, when it comes to work, we try. Because we know there is money at stake. But how many of us arrive at African weddings early? I'm not saying church, African weddings. Or African functions early. Nobody. Because there's no money at stake. It's like, oh, they're always wasting our time. Let me, when I feel like it. The same thing. Are you following? Well, there's really nothing at stake. How many of us arrive at our GP surgeries late? One day I went on outreach a few weeks ago and I met this guy. He was selling at Mitcham. I was trying to wrap him to change his mind. Then in the call, I think someone said, I'm a GP. He said, then he started blasting me. He said I was late 10 minutes. The GP said I should come back in 3 weeks' time. You are all like that. He was angry. He said, the GP is very angry. I said, you were late, but I said, look, you don't understand. If your GP calls you and you don't answer, that is it. He won't call you again. You don't understand. But is it because your health is at stake? It's so important to you. You show up on time. When you're going to see a lawyer, immigration lawyer, arrive late and see. Because it's important. Yeah. Why can we not translate that same attitude to every aspect of our lives? Every. Including church. Why can we not translate that same attitude to every aspect of our lives? Because if I'm going to arrive at the GP 5 minutes before 9 o'clock, because my appointment is at 9 o'clock, I arrive at the lawyer's office 30 minutes before time. Because when he talks more, he will charge you, so you don't need to talk too much. Why would we not apply the same in every area of our lives? Every area. Why? Why is that you arrive at work on time? Because Mr. Faid would, if you arrive late, he's going to do, why? But apart from that, why? Do you see how there's a lot of duality in our lives? This is not important. You realize that even when it comes to progress in life, our progress is checking. You know? It has to be our nature. Something that is, Lord, I want to be faithful throughout. Faithful in my marriage, in my walk with you. Because you have to be faithful. How many of us can say we are faithful to God? Faithful to the words of God. Faithful to God. That your relationship with God, your aim is to be a faithful child of God. A faithful son of God. a faithful daughter of God. How many of us have that ambition that I want to be a faithful child of God? I want to be like David. I want to be a faithful lighthouse member. I want to be a faithful church member in Mitcham. I want to be a faithful work colleague. I want to be faithful. How many of us even think like that? Very surprised. Many don't. Many don't. Because if you want to be faithful to God, His words will mean a lot to you. The word of God will mean a lot to you. In the last few days, I've been meditating on the word repentance. Repentance. Many people don't repent. That's why we keep doing the same sins. 16 years ago, you got born again. It's the same. It's even getting worse. Because we don't repent. Repent means to change your mind, which reflects in a change of heart and a change of attitude. At times, we just live. We just live. Most people only have two ambitions. Shall I tell you? You know what the two ambitions are? To make money and for their living conditions to change. Am I saying the truth? I say most people only have two ambitions in life. Two. More money and an improvement in their living conditions. I don't know what they mean by improvement, but an improvement. That's the most powerful, only two ambitions. Two ambitions only. More money. Almost everybody has an ambition to have more money. Almost everybody has an ambition to have my life improve. One day I called my daughter. I said, look, my aim in life is to give you three things. Three. I told her. I said, come. Every now and then I just somewhere to meetings. I said, come. So when I said, come, I said, Daddy, have I done anything wrong? I said, you come. I said, my aim is to give you only three things in life. I said, one, to give you God. Two, to give you a good education. Three, to give you wisdom to do well in life. Three. That's my ambition in life. Three ambitions. To give you, show you God. Number two, to give you a good education. And number three, to give you wisdom to do well in life. That's my only ambition. When I'm able to accomplish this, that's it. I've finished my job. The rest is up to you. What is your ambition? People want money. They want their life to improve. But even what it takes to improve your life, people don't even think about it. People think, oh, because I want my life to improve, it will improve. No, it doesn't work like that. No. Or I want money, then you get money. It doesn't work like that. That is why people who want money quickly become crooked. Because it takes patience to have money. It takes patience. It takes patience and long suffering to have money. It doesn't come like that. Those who have money quickly often check. Often check how they got it. Often check how they got it. At times they won't tell you. Many people never tell you how they got their money. They won't tell you. Because if they tell you, you'll not be their friends anymore. I know of a guy who owns a very, 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 very top company in one part of the world. I know how he started his company. I know how he started his company. He started a company doing all sorts of things to get money to start it. But when you look at it, oh, he's very rich. Oh, he has a lot of money, but you don't know the background. If you knew the background, you don't even admire him. Oh, yeah, you don't even admire him. That's why at times you can be admiring even a devil and demons. That's why I never, ever admire an unbeliever. Never, ever admire an unbeliever. An unbeliever in his best is still an unbeliever. He's a child of the devil. I said, never, ever admire and clap for an unbeliever. No. Read your Bible, Psalm 15. Let me show you something, and I'll finish with this. Are you okay with my message today? So I'm very relaxed. Can you say I'm very relaxed today? It said, Lord, no, King James. I'll show you something. Psalm 15. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Two, he that walketh uprightly. Worketh righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart. Three, does not backbite with his tongue, does not do evil to his neighbor, does not take up a reproach against his neighbor. Verse 4. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned. He doesn't appraise vile people. He doesn't admire vile people. He doesn't admire them. He doesn't wish that he has what they have. He doesn't covet what they have. But rather, he honors them that fear God. And then he swears and does not change. Faithfulness, he doesn't change. Times change. Seasons change, but he's still constant. Same. He hasn't changed. He hasn't changed. Have you realized how people change with time? Small money, they've changed. Small money. I have seen, look, I've been a pastor. You see, when the pastor says there's no new thing under the sun, it's so true. It's so, look, the devil has very few tricks. So. Look, the devil, his only trick is deception. You see how people change. At times, you even question a person's faithfulness. Are you faithful because of this? Because you see people who maybe there's a deficiency, so they are very faithful. As soon as the issue is solved, you see the true character. So, wow. So all along, wow. Yesterday, a brother sat with me. He said, look, he wants to leave the church. He started talking. I started punching holes. And I said, look, go and pray again. Go and pray again and make sure that your heart is clean. Go and pray again. Go and pray again. There's no harm in going to pray again. Go and pray again and make sure that your heart is clean. Go and pray again. What you are saying, we see it all the time. Later on, you see the real issue comes up. The real reason comes up. The real reason we merge later on. He says he swears and does not change. Can you stick to what you are saying? Have you seen most of us, husband and wives, our vows that we made, we've forgotten them? Maybe I should have a miniature where we all go over our vows again. Maybe they're a good one to remind us. We call all of you and say, read the vows. Both young and old, we read the vows and then remind ourselves. Oh, yeah, because we've all forgotten our vows. That's why when you listen to Wisdom 6. Yeah, it's a good thing. Who has listened to Wisdom 6? You know, it's not, you don't even know. Wisdom 6. Bishop says, don't promise. Don't make promises. Wisdom 6. Don't be quick to make promises. Because what you say, he says, somebody told him that he's going to his village to die. He said, oh, no. He said, I'll come and bury. He forgot about him. Then one day he got a call. The guy has died. He had to travel some obscure village. He said, look, I said I will come. I said I will come and officiate his funeral. So because I said that, I am traveling to the village and go and bury him because I said it. You see how we always change what we say? Oh, I didn't mean it. Oh, I was just joking. I didn't mean it. Did you take me serious? We are always finding a reason to explain. Because we take things for granted. We take a lot of things for granted. Oh, yeah. We take a lot of things for granted. You see, the kind of job I do, if you sit with a patient, there's no witness. Fellas, you sit with a patient, there's no witness. So you better be careful what you tell. Because if the person gets up and says, you said this, there's no. And you see, most of the time we just summarize the conversation. Because the person, there's pain in my foot, and he traveled all the way to my back. Then when I do, I say, you tell right all those nonsense. I mean, you can. That's why, as you are talking, the person is typing because he has an idea of what you are saying. You only put down salient point, back pain, no red flags, cocodamol, ibuprofen, go home. That's it. Can you imagine he writing all the and the pain moved from the toe, then he went to the back, then when I stretched, then I coughed, then I sneezed. He can't write all that. So back pain, no red flags. Anti-inflammatories review 3 weeks. One sentence. He's gone. But when you come, he will tell you what you said. You'll be very surprised. He will tell you what you said. But you also have to be very careful what you tell the person. Because when the person goes out, he said this. That is it. Your word against his word. But as we say things, we have to be faithful with our words. What you say you will do, do it too. What you promise, keep your word. In Matthew chapter 5, it says that, I think from verse 40 there, but it says, let your 22 somewhere, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Anything short of this is from the evil one. Matthew 20, I think 5, somewhere 20 there about. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Are you understanding why we need to be faithful? Yeah. Yeah. That is when you promise your child. It says, let your communication be yea and yea. Nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of the devil. Have you realized that when you promise a child was, you said this. Because the child does takes your words seriously. You promise blessing and say, tell her that you take her to the moon. You'll be very surprised. Oh, that, where's the ticket? How come you go? You'll be very surprised. Because kids pay attention to what we say. And the Lord pays attention to what we say. Oh, yeah. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. He pays attention to what we say. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. It says, when you come into the house of the Lord, don't be quick to make promises. Be rather be quick to hear and not to make the promises of fools. Let's look at it. Better that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Verse 6. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore God should be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands. Because I thought the angel, some angel is writing it down somewhere. That's why for every idle word men shall speak, they shall give account thereof. Faithfulness. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, there are some people that I'm so used to them now. Otherwise, I'm used to them. Anything they tell me, they don't do it. Oh yeah. But I won't tell you. Anything they tell. Oh, Reverend. Okay. No problem. This is a problem for me. Anything they tell you. Oh, this. Then once about, I'll just send you a text. You know, one I said, you said this. Oh, I just remind you, you said this. Oh, yeah. But see, what you don't realize is that even it creates an impression of you, the person. What you don't realize that is that, you see, decisions can be made just based on the person's attitude. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Without realizing, you are creating an impression of yourself. Oh, yeah. People are always promising and failing. Look, you are creating an impression of yourself. You are what you are saying, you are not someone who can keep your word. And if I were a young girl, I won't marry you. Oh, yeah. If I were a young girl looking for a beloved, and you are always changing what you are saying, I will not even waste my time. Oh, yeah. No matter how nicely trimmed your beard is, you are wearing what a Moss and Brothers pinstripe suit with Simon Windsor shoes, no matter. But it's one thing that the ladies don't identify. Look, what you are seeing now, is that what you see? Look, I said, what you are seeing now, it is what you will see. If she's untidy now, she'll be untidy later on. Don't think that when you change. No, you are joking. So if he can't keep his word, she can't keep her word. In spite of all his dressing and her dressing, look, this is the package you are going to. This is the package you are taking home. Yeah. If she's insubordinate as a beloved, that is what you see. Where she put, why she say, I do, it will even be worse. No turning back. I have decided to live with you now. No turning back. But all these things, people overlook. They overlook these things. Look, let me tell you something. Those of you who are not yet married, let me give you a tip. Have spiritual eyes. And ears, and even spiritual noses to smell. Maybe your eyes can see. You are too in love that your eyes can see. Are you following me? Your eyes, you are so in love that there's some wax in your ears you can't hear. As for your nose, it can't be blocked. It smell. But there are a lot of things that you can see that would tell a no. Nah. But many people overlook all those things because they are infatuated with love and dress and shoe and lipstick and hips and dressing. No. Because a faithful person, someone who is faithful even to you before he has married you or she has married you, invariably will continue along the same road. You know what I said? Someone who is unfaithful. That is why it is better to marry a man who has got nothing. Ladies, look, don't wait for the ready-made guy. He's already made up. He has everything. Look for the someone who has nothing. And then start with him. Oh, yeah. But they like contemporary young girls. They like the already made. He has everything. Then they like to sit at the front seat. Wow. Wow. Like Mr. Bean, you know. Wow. They like that. You are I'm saying something, you are laughing. They are laughing at me. Second. You don't know. I'm preaching, but people are laughing at me. Oh, yeah. You'd be very surprised. If he will accept you when you are nobody, when you have nothing, and he will still remain with you. Yeah. Look, he's more likely to remain with you even years. But if at this time he's playing hide and seek with you, she's playing hide and seek, and you can't see, and all you think about is big bum, big breast, nice suit, nice trousers, and that is what you are following. There's a game in your eye. But people can't see these things. At times people say, oh, they don't want us to marry. Look. Let me tell you, your pain is my pain. Oh. Hey, your pain is my pain. Oh. Your joy is my joy. Your peace is my peace. Spare me prayers. Spare me prayers. I say, spare me prayers. Why we could be praying for church growth? Now we are praying, Lord, mend her heart. Oh, we've come against brokenheartedness in the name of Jesus. Oh, spare us prayers. If only you listen. If only you listen. A faithful man, we can find. It is required. Everybody, pastor, reverend, the fact that you wear a collar doesn't mean you are faithful. The fact that you have a cassock does not mean you are faithful. The fact that you hold a microphone does not mean you are faithful. It doesn't mean that. No. The fact that you perform a duty does not make you are faithful. Now, you have to tell us that I have to be faithful. I have to work on my faith. I have to work on my faithfulness to you. I have to work on it. I have to work on myself to be a faithful pastor to you. I have to work on myself. We have to work on ourselves. Just as the ones we wearing collar, okay. No. We have to. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you happy you came to church? times and so much games. The real issues are not dealt with. Hallelujah. Amen. With all eyes closed or heads bowed. All eyes closed or heads bowed. You're here this morning, you're not born again. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Wherever you're seated, just lift up your handwriting and I'll lead you in a prayer. All it takes is a prayer. Nothing but a prayer. A prayer. A prayer. Accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So you want to give your life to Christ. It's the best decision you can ever make. To surrender all to Jesus Christ. It's the best decision you can ever make. For God so loved the world that he gave. That if you would believe, you will not perish. But have everlasting life. Only lift up your right hand and I shall pray with you. Father, we bless you. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to take our second offerings and our tithe. You have your tithe with you. You want to come to the front as we take these announcements. Last week we said we're going to have an all-church outreach on the 14th of May. We're planning to organize t-shirts. So we said that if you really want to be part of this, which I think we should all be, you should let Pastor Kwame have your name and your t-shirt size. So we know the numbers, we can work the maths, and then we can organize a t-shirt. So we want to have the final list by next week. Just your t-shirt size, your name and your t-shirt size. So we know how many t-shirts we can make, and then we work out the cost. And then we'll bring you the invoice. Hallelujah. So it's very important that please, by next week, we want to have all our shirt sizes. And with Pastor Kwame, and then we'll take it from there. Amen. You have your tithe, but you want to come to the front? Let us pray. You also want to lift up your offering. You have an offering, you want to lift it up. You must also be faithful in giving to God. Faithful in giving. Sometimes you made so many promises. Oh, Lord, I will give you this. When you do this for me, when I get this job, I'll give. When I get this breakthrough, I'll give you this. When I get this promotion, when my landlord reduces the rent, I'll give you this. When I get my papers, I'll give you this. When I get a beloved, I'll give you this. When I get a job, I'll give you this. When I have this, I'll give you this. So many promises. So many promises. Listen to Wisdom 6. So many promises, but we don't keep them. Hallelujah. The Bible says, pay your vows. Whatever vow you made to God, pay it. In the name of Jesus. You want to lift up your offering and let us pray. And your tithe as well. May I have a basket for tithe? Father, bless these ones as they honor you with their first and their best. And as we give our offerings, Lord, may you bless these seeds in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we have a thanksgiving offering. Our sister Yah Timing is thanking God for adding another year to her life. She has a scripture from Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength. In him I will trust. Amen. And Anita is also thanking God for adding another year to Jesse's life. The scripture is taken from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts him. In him I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts. And with my song, I shall thank him. Amen. May God continue to bless you all. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So very importantly, let us let Pastor Kwame have the names, our t-shirt sizes, so we can organize, what do you call it, the t-shirts. Our scripture for this week, is it Acts chapter 2? Is that Acts 2:4? Scripture for the week. Do we have it on the screen? Are we learning the scriptures at all? What is the scripture for the week? Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they speak with other tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Hallelujah. Each week we are given a scripture to memorize and to reflect on. By now you should have about almost 20 scriptures. What do you think? I should be able to call you to give us 20 scriptures. That is, if you are learning them. It's not just for showcase. It's for us to learn them, memorize them, and apply them to our lives. Everything we are doing.